Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and always blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a what great word this morning. As you all know, on Friday, we went through the Old Testament through Samuel, starting in 2 Samuel chapter 9. All the way over to 2 Samuel chapter 14. And so today we're going to start in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and finish up 2 Samuel. We will also go through our Psalms as well as Proverbs, and then we'll get into our New Testament work in John. And I have found my, your Bible book, and we'll go over what is in John. So thank you so much. I know some of you are not in yet because I'm an hour ahead of you, so I got my times a little off this morning, but you're still here. Praise the Lord. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning as we go through Bible study, Lord God, studying and reading your word, oh God. We ask you to increase as we decrease, Lord. Give us understanding, give us strength, give us everything we need to do what you have called us to do. Lord God, may this day be the best day ever. Lord, I ask you to bless my family, to bless my sons, my daughter, and Lord, to bless my grandchildren that you have given me in adoption. I thank you, Father, for the grace that you have given all of us. Thank you for the traveling grace that you gave us on Friday to travel to graduation of my eldest granddaughter, Lord God. I ask you to give us understanding of what you have called her to do in her future, Lord God. Give her everything she desires and more than she could ask for. And Lord God, I ask you to bless all the graduates of her class at Johns Hopkins University this morning as they go through their day with their families and friends that have come to support them. Lord God, we ask you to give them bright futures. And Father God, we ask you to be with them as well. And Father God, as we go through, we ask you to increase as you decrease, Lord. Ask you to hide us in the safety of your loving hands, of God. And Father God, as I ask you every day, please take control as I fall back and you increase, oh God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation on my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you and knowing that your word is true. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for being with me this morning. As I prayed, you all heard my awesome granddaughter is graduating from college today. And I'm so happy to be with family, to be here to support her. Wow, that's all I can say is she did it. 4 years ago, she came here, and she is completed today. So hopefully, pray with me, Lord, pray with me, family, that there is no rain this evening in Baltimore, Maryland, that she will be able to graduate on tonight. So please keep her in prayer. Keep all of the graduates of Johns Hopkins class of 2022 in prayer today as well. But pray that there be no rain in Baltimore this evening. Thank you. I appreciate your prayers, family. So let's get in our word. And we all know on Friday, David is now running from his son, Absalom, who has decided he wants to be king, who has killed his brother, Amnon, who raped his sister, Tamar. And so there is a lot of hatred in this family that can't be shaken off. And so David is actually running, just like he did with Saul. But this time, it's not Saul who's chasing him, but his own son, Absalom. So let's see what goes down in the Word this morning. And as I said, it is what? It is a good word. So please join me this morning, family, in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through chapter 16, verse 23. And then we'll continue in our word this morning and our word today is coming out of John. Because Jesus had to ask some questions. And Jesus just asked a one simple question. Do you believe? And that's a question I asked you this morning. But there are some of you who do not believe. So I ask the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you? So let's get into the word. You got me? I hope you do. And our word of God says, after this it happened, that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom arrived early and stand before the way to the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision that Absalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such a tribe of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that would put out his hand and take it, kiss him. In this manner, he's already putting himself up as a God. He's putting himself up in his dad's place. I'll be the judge. You know, you can hear him saying that in his mind. I'm going to take this thing down. But let's go back and read that verse 5 one more time. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Gershon. And Syria said, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But again, went for a reason. When Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And when Absalom went with 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. So he was setting them up. He was setting himself up to be king. And so he took some of the powerful people with him to Hebron. So let's keep going, he says. And when Absalom went, 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, which he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continued to increase in number. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel with Absalom. So David said to all his servants who were with them in Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said to the king, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands. Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. Now remember what Nathan told him way back when he was messing around with a married woman, what would happen to him. What he did in the dark would happen to somebody in his life, in the light. So these 10 concubines, there is a reason for this word and why they are mentioned. And you'll find out later. Just got to stay tuned because this is a conundrum. It is a riddle, but you'll find out the answer shortly. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts, and all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites and the Philistites and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath passed before the king. Then the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today? As I go, I know not where. Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there I also your servants will be. So David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook of Kedron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. And the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you. Here I am. Let him do so to me as seems good to him. Excuse me. The king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace and your two sons with you, Amaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you this morning. Therefore, Zadok and Abathar carried the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And understand, the Mount of Olives, who else went there? Jesus, his descendant, went there as well. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to do what? To pray and to weep. And it goes on to say, as he went up, he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went up. And someone told David, saying, Abathar is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh, Lord, I pray turn the counsel of Abathar into foolishness. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was a Hushai, an Archite, coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant, you say. So I will now also be your servant, and you may defeat the council of Abathar. But me, indeed, you not have Zadok and Abathar the priest with you there. Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell Zadok and Abathar the priest. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Amaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Wow. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddle donkeys and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? And so Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. So the king said to Ziba, here are all that belongs to Abishai. Two is yours. Now, I understand. Mephibosheth did not do all this. This is Ziba standing, basically. And Ziba said, I humbled out before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Now, when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of the king. Bold, yes, he was. David and all the people, all the mighty men, were in his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus, when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you bold. You bold, wasn't it? The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have prayed, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Then Abishai, the son of Gera, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. You can see him now saying, please let me go get him. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you son of Israel? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite let him alone and let him curse me? So the Lord is with him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hilltop opposite them and cursed him with two stones of him and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him came weary, so they refreshed themselves. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with them. And so it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, the Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. So Absalom said to him, is this your lord that you have sent? Why did you not go with his friend? And Hushai said to him, no, for whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, that I will be with him. I will remain furthermore. Whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of the son, as I serve in your father's presence? So will I be in your presence. And that's not good to Ahithophel. Give advice as to what we should do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in to your father's concubine, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel hears that you are abhorred by your father, in the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So they pitched the tent in Absalom, toward Absalom on the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one hand inquired of the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And if we go back, Nathan the prophet had told David back in the day, when he was messing around with Bathsheba, that what he did in the dark would come into light. And what he told him was, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Because then he told him the story of the little ewe lamb and the rich man who took it from the poor man. And he goes and said, I named you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite. With the sword, you have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and I'm taking the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up adversely against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors, and you shall lie with your wives in the sight of this one. For you did exceedingly, but I will do the same before all Israel before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also said, away your sin, you shall not die. And that was 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse number 7. And so what David did in the dark, Absalom is doing in the light by basically taking his concubine and having relations with them. And so as we go back into Psalm and Proverbs for today, and then we'll get into our New Testament word. And we are starting at Psalm, at the 66 Psalms. And I'm going to go back and read, even though we read it on Friday, I'm going to read it today as well, which is starting at verse 1 of the 66 Psalm. And it says this, to the chief musician, a song, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. You know, I love that song. Make his praise glorious. We must make our praises to God glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, to God. And what we're praising, we are praising God. And that's what we must pray every day. Give God your best praise. Just say hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty. And as we continue in verse 5, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river. They were well rejoiced in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. And that's right there with the lessons, because his son had decided to exalt himself and to take his father's place, on my understanding that his father was a servant of God, that his father was chosen by God, even in his worst days. David still loved God. Absalom loved Absalom, but David loved his son. You know, even in his wickedness, just like God loved us, David loved Absalom. So let's keep it moving. Oh, bless our God, you people. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our back. You have caused men to rise over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Offer you burnt sacrifices, a fat animal with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Eli. And in our Proverbs it says, Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 to 30. And as we go in, it says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. We know how folks can get nasty. And you're like, okay, what have I ever done to you to make you so hateful? Nothing. Because he's an ungodly man, and he's going to dig up as much evil as he can. And it's on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife. That person always thought, man, you know, that's why he says, just get away. Because we know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Don't go into anybody. Don't even listen to folks. That all they want to do every time they see you is thought, man, just turn and walk away. That says a violent man. And this verse is a perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. You know, where he said and she said, and they see it. And before you know, you done said something that you didn't say. You done been where you haven't been. You done what you haven't done. Because somebody said that you did, you did, they did. You got to tell those folks, you know what, get behind me, baby. I ain't got time for that mess. No, don't let them get behind you. Get in front of me so I can kick you all the way down the road. Because you are not a friend. You are an enemy. And you are still an evil. And I don't have time for your foolishness. Sometimes you just got to tell folks, I don't have time for that. And walk away. Because you know what we talked about, the sisters, these of the world get persecuted by those folks that love to talk about sisters, because she said this, she did that. You remember when? No. I don't remember when, and I don't want to talk any more messages. And keep it moving. Don't get caught up in the foolish. And it goes on to tell us a vitamin entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. If somebody's pursing them lips and telling you to, you know, you see it all the time now on the MTVs and whatever. I guess now there's not MTV anymore. It's TikTok and Instagram, where you see the little girls with their lips all pursed. Like, you know, I don't know what that means. But anyway, I guess it's something they mean to be cute. But you see it all the time, the purse says, like they're ready to kiss you. Like, no, I don't know you like that. Keep it moving, little girl. But we see this all the time, and they don't understand that that is an invitation for the enemy, because it looks as if you're trying to entice someone, and we don't want that for our children. You know, and parents, you need to get out there and see what your children are doing. You don't know. Your baby girl, 9 years old, is out there with her own TikTok account, working the thing. And you have no idea because you don't know what they are doing. You got to be all up in your children's business because you don't want your children to be doing business that they don't have any business doing. And you don't know about it because you're not in their business. Until they turn 18 and living in your house, your business and their business. Their business is your business is what I want to say. So don't feel ashamed. Get all up in the business. They can look at you, roll their eyes at you, talk about you, that and that, but it don't matter because you are keeping them safe, and that is your responsibility. Just as our Heavenly Father keeps us safe, we must keep our children safe. So let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And I just want to go back. I'm sorry, y'all. I digress, but I got to go back to this Proverbs 16:20-21 word. It says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Because if you do, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. We got to trust God today. Because the wise at heart will be called prudent. The sweetness of your lips increases with learning. Ignorance is not bliss. We want to be understanding. We want to have knowledge. We want to be good and kind and sweet. We want to learn as much as we can. And this is what I love this life lesson for this proverb where it says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. No one will ever find true happiness by disobeying a clear command of God. But happiness is found in trusting in God. And those who disobey show that they do not trust him to make them happy. God will make you happy. All you have to do is trust in him. All you have to do is do what he tells you to do. If God says go, go. If God says stay, stay. If God says go see Boo-Boo and them down the street and testify, then you got to go see Boo-Boo and them. And you're like, but the Lord, what if somebody sent me down there? Don't worry about what he said, they said. Again, do you trust and believe in Jesus Christ? Are you a servant of God? We got to be servants, but there are some of you who do not believe even Jesus is God. There are folks sitting in church pews right now every Sunday. Don't miss a Sunday, but do not believe. They're just there to be seen, just there so they can mark off their list if they went to church this week. Not because they wanted to go, not because, but because they wanted to be seen. and they are always dressed to the nines, always got it going on because they want to be seen, but they do not believe. And Jesus, even in his day, said, but there are some of you who do not believe. We've got to believe. And so as we go to John 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, and the word of God tells us, and this is what it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. And you're saying, well, what were these things? We're going to go back and find out. What these things were was when Jesus came, he said, told his disciples, I do not receive honor from men. I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. We see it all the time. We're seeing it right now. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall choose you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. But if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus put it out there on front. How would you believe my words? You believe Moses, but I'm the Son of God, and you don't believe. And he goes on to tell us, but there are some of you who do not believe. And my question this morning is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the Son of God so that you may be saved? Because after being seen, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? We know this is a miracle about to take place. But this he said to test them, but he himself knew what he would do. Philip added them, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force, remember we read this before, take him by force, even, like, you're going to be our king, whether you want to or not, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Jesus went to pray. Jesus prayed all the time. Do you pray? Do you ask God, what must I do to be saved? Do you believe? Therefore, when Jesus received that they were going to make him king, he's like, I'm out. Jesus out. Peace. You know, did not understand that he was not going with them. That was not his assignment. We must do our assignment. Just like Jesus came into the world to do his assignment, we must do ours. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dusk, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Jesus didn't play, but we also understand it in this word, depending on which gospel you read. Jesus walked on water, and Peter did too. Peter got out the boat, walked on the water, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. Just like us, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we start to sink in our worst storm. And this is what the life lesson for chapter 6, verse 6 says. This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Before Jesus ever set before us an impossible task, he knows what he's doing, going to do. But he watches us and tests us to see how we will react. What either fear or confusion or faith, are you walking in faith this morning, family? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you doing yourself? We got to call on the Lord and say, "Lord, what must I do for you? What do you need me to do to be saved, to be set free, to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" Trust in the Lord today. Know that everything will fall into place. All you have to do is believe. And as we continue, says in John 6, verses 22 to 51, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum. They was like following Jesus. Wherever he was going, they was going to. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most sincerely, I said to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." What did Jesus say to the woman of Samaria? "The water I give you will thirst no more." The bread of life is Jesus. That's why we ask the question, do you believe? Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Jesus said, "Believe in me. I was sent by my Father to help you, to save you, to keep you from going to hell." Jesus did that for us. But the question again is, he told us, there are some of you who still don't believe. Are you a believer? I think it's Dr. Wright that says, "Yes, I'm a believer." I love that song. "I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the ruler of my life. I'm a believer." You know, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform me?" Not like he's a circus, you know, a circus performer. What you going to do for today? Like he's some reality TV star doing some big trick for you. No. And he said, therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, we gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have see and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who come to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. These aren't some of my own strength. My dad sent me down to work and to help you, to get you saved so that you will have eternal life. I'm the bread. You're not eating manna. Once you have me in your life, you will never go hungry. You will never thirst. Jesus was there for them. He was telling them, you don't have to understand what I'm saying, but this is what I'm going to tell you. You must do to have eternal life. He said, Jesus said, I am the carpet. I am the bread of life. And remember, no man has seen the face of God. So whose face was Moses seeing? Who were Daniel seeing? Who were the Hebrew boys seeing? Who were they seeing? Who wrestled with Jacob? Come on now. You better get it. Catch it, click it, know it. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me, and all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, who sent his Father. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing and should rise it up at the last day. I shall raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of the him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Ooh, come on, y'all. Let's say that one more time. John chapter 6, verse 47. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Come on now. Love pray ahead and say, bread of heaven sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, a carpenter, a holy king. You are the living word. You got to know who the bread is. And it says, the Jews therefore quarreled. Man did give us his flesh to eat. This man gives us his flesh to eat. You know, they're like, hey, that's nasty. He wants us to cannibalize them, not understanding it's spiritual. And it says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Now, that sounds like some vampire stuff, don't it? But we know that's not what it is. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And, you know, I always believed that was, you know, those Bram Stoker and all the folks that, you know, wrote, the one that wrote Dracula. I think he was a Bible reader. And he's like, ooh, this sounds interesting. You know, we can take myth of vampires and we can say that Jesus was like a vampire and that, you know, we drank of his blood and ate of his flesh and that's why vampires live forever. Come on now. That's some dark mess and that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And he goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. But he who feeds on me will live because of me. And it goes on to say, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the bread, and are dead, who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue, and he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said, the infectious offend you. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, did I catch that? I'm not telling you to cut me up, eat me, and drink my blood. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Spirit, and they are light. But there are some of you who do not believe. That's our word for today. There are some of you who do not believe. It wasn't just his disciples that didn't believe. It's folks right now, today, who do not believe in Jesus, who do not believe that he is the Son of God, who do not believe that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins. But we must believe. But there are some of you who do not believe. He was talking to his disciples. But Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, understand, we're not talking to 12. Because he had many disciples. The 12 was just his apostles. They became apostles. They started disciples. Then they became apostles. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on now. Peter's like, let me break it down. But we know even Peter betrayed Jesus at one point. We know that he said, I don't know it. But we also know that God is in charge of everything. And it goes on to tell him. Jesus said, answer them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you as is a devil? He had to tell us straight, one of you is a devil. We know it's Judas, a thief and a greedy man. But we also know Judas committed suicide and gave the money back that he may fulfill the prophet's word. And he did. And he goes on to say, he spoke to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, we'll come back to all the life lessons if time permits. But let's keep it going here. In John chapter 7, verses 1 through 27, says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brother therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judah, that your disciples also may see the work that you are doing. But no one does anything in secret, while he seeks himself to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world, for even his brothers did not believe in him. His own brothers. until after he died. The judges believe in Judah. They have their own books in the way to his brother. But we understand that James was powerful. The book of James would take you there. But he didn't even want to believe until too late. Almost too late. But he did believe. And it goes on to say that Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. If Jesus came today, there would be folks ready to put him in jail immediately. Folks ready to kick him out of their church immediately. Folks that would get mad because he would tell them, you got to help the poor. You got to take care of these children. You know, you got to get out of folks' business. You know, you got to take that big plank out of your eye before you worry about the speck in somebody else's. Jesus would be telling some folks about themselves, from pastors to politicians, down to the lowest homeless man. Jesus would tell us all about ourselves, just like the woman at the well said, he told me all about myself. Jesus would talk to us all and tell us who we are, the one that people don't see. Who are you? Do you believe? What do you say? There are some of you who do not believe. I pray that none of you are one of them, because we got to believe. And he goes on to tell us. And he's talking to his brothers. When he said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. They like, you need to go to the like now. And then one of them said, you go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, but my time has not yet fully come. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews saw him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself speaks his own glory. I'll call that. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no of righteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you are all marveled. Moses therefore gave you the circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the Father. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not. He's about to tell him, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows that he is from. They think, well, we know he's Joseph, the carpenter's kid. He's from Galilee. I don't know why he's trying to act like he's something that he's not. I know his mama. Her name was Mary. And you know her and Joseph. Yeah, well, you know he was one of them 8-month babies. You know, folks want to get all of your business. But we got to understand that we are all children of God. And he asked the question, do you believe? And then he tells us the answer. Some of you do not believe. we've got to believe today who Jesus is. And this is what John 7 and 15 and 5 says. Even his brothers did not believe in him. And Joseph's family tells us Jesus' younger brothers had grown up with him in Nazareth. And while they might have heard about Jesus' extraordinary birth, they did not believe until after the resurrection. Only then did they come to faith. John 7 and 17 says, we shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The best way to understand the word of God is to decide to obey it wherever it says. We put ourselves in great spiritual danger by trying to understand the Bible without first committing to obey God. We got to know who God is first. Before you even think about doing anything in your flesh, you got to say, Lord, you take control. Lord, I work for you. I am going to work for you. I am in the vineyard for you, not myself. You got to know who the vine dresser is. And it is not us. It is God. We got to trust in him. We got to speak to him. We got to talk to him just like we're talking to our friends. We got to talk to God because he is a friend indeed. He loves us more than anything. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And Jesus says to us in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. And we know this is the story of the unfaithful servant who was given and said, well, you know, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. You know, we're talking about, you know, folks not doing their job. The faithful servant and the evil servant. You know, it goes on to tell us in the first place, is let your ways be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Are you ready to open to Jesus today immediately? Do you know who he is? And then as he tells him, because the one servant was drinking and having a good old time and not doing his job, it got busted, got caught. And the master said, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with you. But everyone to whom much is given, y'all better catch this. Much is given. And when you are given much, much will be required from you. This is for everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask for more. And it happens every day. Are you a believer? Can you say, yes, I am a believer? Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Because he is the master. He is our Savior. And he loves us more than anything. Are you trusting God this morning? Are you giving yourself to him today? Are you believing? And before we get out of here this morning, a word from my sister in Christ. And this is yesterday's word. It says this. Good morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we keep our eyes and minds stayed on you. Father, help us to do whatever it is that is your will. Amen. Have a super Sunday, family. And before we go, we have one more prayer that's coming out of our 365 prayer book for today. And that prayer today is this. Honest. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do you believe today? 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says, God, overall, nothing escapes your sight. Nothing is hidden from you. Even those who make deals in secret are seen by you. You take care of those who are yours and you expect the same for those who follow you. May my life line up with the values of your kingdom. Otherwise, my faith is only a claim. It doesn't mean anything. If I speak words without action to back them up, you honor those who uphold your law of love. If it is not practiced in your home, it isn't worth much out in the street. Lord, may I be consistent in the ways I serve you both at home and outside of it. You see everything that I would like you to overlook, but that's not how you work. Lord, give me the grace to live with integrity and honor all for your glory and for the benefit of those I love. And this question is for today. How do you honor the Lord with your family, our close friends? Give an honor to God today. Thank you so much for me, who is the center of my life. And I ask you all, keep us in prayer. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Pray for your pastors today, because they have to deliver a word from God. Pray that your pastor's word is from God and not of flesh. Keep God first in everything that you do, watch and work in your life. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours and just ask you one more time, do you believe? Or are you that person that Jesus says, but there are some of you who do not believe? So I pray you all believe in today and trust in Jesus today. Keep God first in everything that you do and watch and work in your life. This is Pastor Sylvia signing off this morning. As always, with love, from Baltimore, Maryland. Have a blessed day, family. Love you much. Be blessed. And as always, by the Bible, believe in Bible Teaching Church. If the Bible is not open, you and your Bible should be getting up and walking out the door. Because if they are not using the Word of God and just babbling, that's what they're doing. They're babblers, and they are not from God. Get up, walk out. If they don't come out of the Word of God, and then go back and read it yourself to make sure it was read and taught in context. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Love you much. Also, there will not be a show again. Oh, Lord, tell me. No, actually, there will be a show tomorrow morning. It will be early. Regulars will get a text, and I will DM you on Facebook, as well as it will be announced on Facebook and on Twitter what time the show will be on. You'll get a notice if you are one of the followers or you are on my Facebook page. So it will be an early show because I got a lot to do tomorrow, or it may not be a show, but either way, you will be notified. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. I love you all. God bless you. Again, Bible believing, Bible teaching. And watch it out, but do you believe? Don't let anybody take your faith. Be blessed.